Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone. So today we wanted to talk about self-care and sort of why it's important and ways that you can make sure that you're kind of hitting on all of your self-care needs. And this was something that Larissa found out on the interwebs. We know she searches for weird things, but this
all
was
the time.
This was a fruitful one.
And it's funny. This is like such a topic that I feel like is everywhere, and we've never touched on it. And I think it's so interesting because it means something very different for everyone.
And I think it's often a misnomer. I think people think, especially moms, think of self-care as like, I get my hair cut on a semi-annual basis. Or
where I got to shower today.
Yeah. And so it's almost used just to describe basic self
like needs.
Yes.
Yeah,
just maintenance. But it really does and should go beyond your pedicures and your spa treatments and things like that to really making sure that you're taking care of yourself in a more holistic way.
I mean, I do love the manicures and all of that as well.
Oh, yeah. That is an important part of self-care.
Just checking.
Yes.
So what are we drinking with today's topic?
So this is a bit of a coconut slushy. And what makes it so delicious, in my opinion, is I use a popsicle that is just pure coconut milk. It doesn't have a lot of additives. It's just like a healthy.
I'm going to look at the box later.
I promise it's pretty good. Pretty good is the operative word. And then mixed in with some lime, some mint, just to give it that nice summer flavor. And then, of course, vodka for you. Got to add that in.
Cheers.
Cheers. And we have a sponsor today, Young Woodworkers. They make it easy for your kid to become makers and builders with their woodworking subscription kits for ages 7 through 12. Every month, your child will receive a high-quality, all-in-one project kit with their materials kids need to make an awesome woodworking project, completely on their own, or with little to no supervision required.
So I have to tell you, so my son is almost 5 years old, and so of course he needed help, but he had such a good time doing the kit with my husband. He got they call it a turbo racer. Mm-hmm. So it's like this, I don't know, this cool car thing that they put together themselves, and they get this like adorable little hammer and screwdriver and square and all of that in your first kit that you get to keep. But he had a blast doing it. It was really funny. It also comes with these like paints so that you can, you know, put your own flair on it, but he wanted to color on it with crayons. So we still have the paint for another day. But he had so much fun with it. I think even though, you know, it's for 7 to 12, a younger child can definitely do it. I can attest to that. But I think there's something to it also about making something with your hands. Like you can see how proud he is mm-hmm. when it's all said and done. And then he's actually still playing with it. We made it probably 2 weeks ago, and he's still kind of like pushing it across the floor and playing with it.
Because it's his creation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Colored in crayons.
Too funny that he liked the crayons. So I ended up giving this to my niece. I love the opportunity to, you know, provide her with these toys that she can do, she can build, she can feel proud of, like you were saying with Max. But I have to say her favorite part was getting that hammer of her very own. I think it just felt so special.
It's just so miniature
and
cute. It's
so sweet. And then what her dad loved about it is that it's got an easy go-to rainy day activity. So if it's too hot out, which is most likely around here this time of year, or it's rainy outside, you've got something that they can do that's really tangible, really fun, that they can get excited about inside. And especially when it arrives, you can say, let's put this down and pull it out when we need it. And they can get excited and look forward to that.
I think these things are so handy right now in the midst of summer when it's like,
yes,
I'm bored, or like I'm going to veg out in front of the TV all day. So it's like one of those things that's amazing to have in your back pocket. And we have an amazing deal for you guys to give this a try yourselves. We've partnered with Young Woodworkers to offer you a really great deal on your first shipment. You'll only pay 50% of the normal price. So you'll pay $9.99 plus postage and processing for the first kit. You're going to get the actual project. You'll also get the couple of things we mentioned that you get to keep the hammer and the screwdriver, the square, which are really fun for your kids to just, you know, have their own.
Head to youngwoodworkers.com/crunchy to subscribe and you can get 50% off your first order. No promo code needed. Just go to youngwoodworkers.com/crunchy. So what we wanted to talk through today is actually what we're calling the self-care wheel. And you can find it all over the internet. It's all over Pinterest. It's anybody that talks about self-care is often bringing this up. But I did a little digging as to where it came from because I was curious. And it was originally created by the Olga Phoenix Project. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
No, I hadn't either. So essentially, their whole philosophy is about overcoming trauma and dealing with pain in a way that's really taking care of yourself as a whole person and making sure that you are addressing it and moving forward rather than just sort of band-aid approach and move on, which I think is a really cool way to look at it.
Absolutely.
But self-care doesn't just have to be protecting yourself after a big trauma. It should be something that's a little bit more proactive. So I think what the internet does, as it always does, is took it and adapted it to an overall healthcare approach or self-care approach, rather. And that maintenance and preservation of self before you move into a necessary rebuild, which is more where it started.
I love that.
So I thought what we'd do is take a look at this self-care wheel of life balance, as they're calling it, and go across the six categories and sort of talk about what that means, how we are doing, like a little bit of a check-in, and see what different things you can do across of each of the categories to make sure that you're checking in on yourself from a self-care perspective. So the different categories, we'll walk through the six just at a high level. So there's physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, personal, and professional.
That's a much broader categories than getting your nails done, right?
It is, yes. And so, like, interestingly, where would you think that fits?
Wow. I guess, like, personal is the one that pops out to me.
Yeah, same here. But I wonder if it depends on sort of your why behind it or, like, what you're getting out of it. So, I don't know, maybe we can talk through that. So I thought we'd start with the one that I fail at the most often. Let's start with physical.
Oh, great.
So this is really taking care of your physical being. It's about health and fitness and nutrition. It's a pretty standard part of self-care if you think about it. And, you know, what they're trying to talk about is it goes beyond for the self-trauma wheel, talks more about, you know, your shelter in a way and asking for nurture. But I think can be as simple as bubble baths and eating healthy and getting enough sleep and exercising and things like that.
I wonder too if I'm thinking about, like, the things that I find really important and the things that we talk about so often on the podcast and, like, the products you use and, like, the food you eat and all that. Does that fall in here?
That's a good question.
Like,
I would
physical
say
physical body type of thing.
Yeah, I would say taking care of your external toxins would be physical. But I wonder if there's also potentially a personal or emotional component to the care that you're putting into it. So if you think about the choices that you make for your kids, I wonder if there's a bit and then I think we're going a bit more philosophical than it is talking about self-care. But that's why I think the why behind it and what you're getting out of it is important.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And important to the wheel, not necessarily.
The wheel rules all.
It does. All right, so check in here. How are you doing from physical self-care?
So I think this is probably the one I do the worst at. I think about, like, do I kind of care for myself on a daily basis? Like, I think about, sometimes I'm like, when did I wash my hair last? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, oh, I'm so overdue for a haircut. Or, oh, I said I was going to work out 6 years ago and I still haven't. And,
yeah,
you know, like, little things like that. And so I think I probably do pretty bad at this. I think the thing that pops out to me that I think I do well and I find important for myself is like my nighttime skin rituals.
Yes.
There's something for me about this whole, like, you know, and this is like when the kids have gone to bed, so I can do this at like a slow, cared pace, you know, to wash your face and like wash the day away and put on my 59 products. And I don't know, like there's something to that that makes me feel good.
Yeah. So question for you though, we're recording late tonight. It's about 10:30-ish. You're probably not going to get home until closer to midnight, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Will you still do a full routine?
I will, because I'll be wired from recording and from the drive, and it does help me wind down, I feel.
Yeah,
like
that's fair.
I don't know. There's like lots of really soothing smells going on and all that, so it does help me wind down, so I will.
So meanwhile, your taillights will have barely faded off my driveway, and I will be in bed.
I mean, you're like 3 hours past your bedtime.
So speaking of that, my check-in, one of the things that I'm doing quite well, I'd say, from my physical self-care perspective is sleeping. I've been a lot better about just sort of getting to bed when I need to. If I need to like just rest, I'm resting. And I've made a conscious effort. I know we've talked about this. I'm pretty good with my cell phone, but I'm being even better with it. The amount of time that I'm Claire's home, so like those kind of physical things I'm being pretty good with. But when it comes to my eating and my exercising,
no,
I am not doing well. I've got to flip the switch back.
It's something that, you know, and I don't know what it is. Like you and I are pretty, I don't know, wellness focused in general. Like I feel like we focus on different pieces of that, but like I don't know why it is that we can't get that part, that exercise part, like together.
When I have to say, I'm really excited for after the baby's born to put some time in under, because I am taking a good deal of time off. I will be off work for 6 months, which is wonderful.
That's significant.
And so I'm going to get back into potentially a stroller strides type program and doing some mom classes. But then, you know, I'm committed to that being, so I'm going to ask you a little bit about your goals around each. And I think this is one for me, but it's longer term because it's for when the baby comes out. I really am hoping to get back to fitness, because even after Claire, I had lost so much weight after having her with the restrictions, but I still didn't feel particularly physically fit.
There's a big difference, I think, between being fit and being in a body shape that you like.
Yes.
I think it's totally different.
Yeah. So a couple of other ones that the wheel states here, it's regular medical care. That's something I think we probably both do pretty well. Be sexual, take vacations, take time off. Massages, acupuncture, bubble baths, kissing, taking a walk, turning off your cell phone and getting me time are all kind of physical things that you can do for self-care. If you had to set a goal in this category for how you could better take care of yourself and be kind to yourself in a physical way, what would you set?
So the thing that pops into mind first is, And I think this encompasses like a couple of things for me all in one. So now that the weather is warmer, just the other day, we went on a family walk, and we actually like we went with the kids, and we also like took a neighbor kid with us as well that we happened to see as we were leaving. And, you know, it was really awesome quality time with the kids. We have these like great trails around our house that are, I think we did the longer trail and it was like 4-something miles or so. And my poor husband was pulling the kids in the wagon, like up hills and all of that. But it gives us quality time with them. And it's like, you know, pretty much a no phone zone. Like I have my phone, but it's in my pocket. And I feel like I sometimes fight doing that. I'm like, oh, go for a walk. It's hot and all that. But I got home and it took us a while to walk that amount of time. And I wasn't wearing a Fitbit or anything, but I said to my husband, I was like, oh, that felt really good to just walk. Like it didn't feel like exercise, but it was clearly exercise because I decided to pull up the health app on my iPhone. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it tracks your steps as well. And I had walked 10,000 steps.
And that probably felt amazing.
In an hour in the morning. And I had spent this great quality time with my kids and I got to be outside. And it was just all these things in mm-hmm. one. And so I think, to kind of answer your question, I think for me, it would be find those types of opportunities where I can be physical
with the kids.
But it doesn't even necessarily have to be exercise.
Yeah.
Like in its kind of like very simplistic form. Do you know what I mean? Like this is just, I didn't think of it as exercise, but it totally was.
Oh, I love that one. I think that's a good goal too. It's something we did with my family a lot as kids. And now we do walks in the neighborhood, but we don't go for those like nature hikes. I do like that one. So for me, when the baby's born, definitely getting back into a fitness routine. But I think in the meantime, same thing, getting out for walks. We do that before dinner a lot on the weekends, just going out for a walk in the neighborhood, but doing that a bit more consistently and making sure that I take out Claire. She loves going for her walks. That would be mine too.
It's hard. Sometimes it gets hard to do those things and the weather stinks and it doesn't allow for it. And you get kind of in that rut of not doing it. And so it's hard to pick it back up, but it's such a great thing to do.
So next on the wheel, we have psychological, and this is really all about mental health and making sure that you are treating your mental health with the care it needs. I think this one can be a bit more nebulous if you're not in a traumatic situation. It's probably not something that you're really taking a lot of look into. So some of the things the wheel says is self-reflection, therapy, journaling, aromatherapy, drawing and painting, doing artistic things, relaxing in the sun, gardening, reading a self-help book or joining a support group, practice asking and receiving help. I thought that one was interesting. So what does this mean to you? And is this something you feel like you're doing well?
So I think two things come to mind for me, and I've started to do some of them. So one is around books. So I'm a big reader. Mm-hmm. I love to read, and it's kind of a sickness because when I do start reading, I can't stop. I have my Kindle in my purse right now, and I sometimes I'll hide in the closet and read a page. I will find any opportunity, and then things get busy and I lose track. But right now it's been a really good time and I've gotten back into it. But I've always just kind of, I keep a list of books that I want to read next mm-hmm. and I just pick whatever. But I have set a goal recently that I'm going to read kind of like two books for pleasure, one book for some kind of learning. And it could be a book about, about work mm-hmm. And something to better myself in that area. Right now, I'm starting to read a book about how to be like a calmer parent and not yell.
You'll have to tell us the book
name. I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. If I like it and if it, if the tactics and all of that work. But so that's one thing that comes to mind for me. The second one I have been doing as well, probably not as often as I'd like to, but I got that Calm app for my phone, which has a couple of different facets to it. There's, just basic daily meditation to it. It's guided meditation. But the thing I've been using it for most often is they have sleep stories, and they're just these random stories about nothing. It'll be a story about lavender fields or bees or really random topics. But it instead of watching TV or playing on my phone, I'm kind of listening to this soothing voice about a nice topic. And I find it's really giving me a more restful sleep.
I can't imagine how you fall asleep listening to something, but I like
noise in some way, but this is a better type of noise for me.
And it works. You said it works for your son as well.
Yeah. My son actually uses it. He, mm-hmm. He likes some kind of noise as well. So he's got the Dot in his room. So he sometimes will listen to there's bedtime story podcasts. But sometimes I will play those stories for him as well.
That's really neat.
Those two. And the thing is, when he listens to the podcast, he's so into it, it actually keeps him awake. This is kind of a little bit drier, so he nods him off a little faster.
It lulls you to sleep.
Totally.
So I think what's interesting about self-care in general, and then I'm reflecting on psychological, particularly for my situation, is that I feel like the way that you care for yourself will be different depending on where you are in a point of life. So, you know, I was thinking through my check-in for this one, and it's, I'm so focused right now on parenting a young toddler and being pregnant and preparing for baby number two. So I was thinking about how I'm caring for myself here. And I think part of caring for myself is making sure that I feel equipped to care for others.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'd say a big thing that I'm doing is reading a lot about the introduction of a new baby and sort of managing a toddler's emotions as it relates to bringing home a new kid. And
what about that really great book that I got for Claire that's like, there's no time for you now, baby. There's a new baby.
Claire has a lot of really sweet books about becoming a big sister and getting a new sister. But and Larissa was sweet enough to buy a couple of books for her. But one of them, it's a really, really sweet book. But
it has a
really good message. But it does talk about some of the negative bits about getting a new baby sister. And one of the big things it talks about, it literally, I think the line is, you may need a hug when you are feeling sad.
It's like something about like, you might want a hug, but I'm feeding the baby right now. So
essentially, but you're going to have to wait, baby. Which is just such a depressing thought. But so that's, I feel like that's part of how I'm sort of caring for myself is making sure that I feel prepared to deal with the future stressors.
I like that.
It is a part of self-care. It's just where I am in life right now.
And for whatever reason, right, it's what's making you feel more prepared, and it's making you feel less anxious about the unknown of what it's like with two.
Yeah, agreed. And I think I loved that one of the items on this wheel was practice asking and receiving help. And I think that's something, especially as moms, that we all struggle with. And I've had to be good about that recently, just with a couple of things that have been going on. And so I'm practicing that. I'm practicing that one. I'm not saying I'm great at that one, but I'm practicing.
Yeah. I think sometimes we expect people around us to just know. And sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. But even when they do know, sometimes even it's not even asking for help, but it's then accepting it.
Yes, exactly.
It can be just as difficult.
It can. All right. So moving down our wheel, the next is emotional. And I kind of struggled at first with sort of the difference between psychological and emotional. But I think this is understanding and acknowledging being the big piece, your own emotional needs. So not just pushing down emotions, but letting them happen, acknowledging them and moving forward, whatever they might be. So, for example, the wheel talks about self-love, self-compassion, crying, being involved.
I'm really good at crying. When you ask me what I'm doing well, I'm really doing well with crying.
Well, there you go. See, we checked the box on this one.
I don't have a problem there.
Social justice engagement. I thought that was really interesting to take care of your emotional self. Laughing, saying I love you, watching funny videos. Buying yourself a present. It's just like sweet ways to make sure that you're emotionally involved with yourself. So check in. How are you doing emotionally?
So I kind of feel like I do things here. I would never characterize myself as like emotionally stable, yeah. But
good to know.
Let's be clear. But so a couple of things. I think one thing that I do well is I will find a way to laugh.
Yeah.
Like whatever is going on, I will find a way to laugh. Like that is one of my biggest releases, like as good as crying is, so is laughing. Agreed. For me. So I always find something that I can laugh at or someone I can laugh with. I think that the other thing that is always kind of like in my toolbox is, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but like I'm someone that for a long time struggled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And one of my tactics, like when I would feel a panic attack coming on, especially if I was somewhere that like I was not an appropriate place to have a panic attack, is I would look at myself in the mirror and like literally talk to myself to calm myself down. And I would, you know, tell myself basic things like, you're okay, you are safe, like just basic things like that. And, you know, my anxiety is very much in check these days. But I do find that there are days where something seems out of control, or I have blown up something in my head to be bigger than it is. And you know that thing where you've kind of like told stories to yourself in your head, and the moment you say it out loud, you go like, whoa, like that is not, this is not a big deal, or I completely blew this out of proportion. But just doing that once in a while to say something out loud to kind of like relieve myself of what's going on in my head, that's something that works for me and is helpful for me. But I think the other thing, and this is something that I think belongs in this emotional category, and you tell me, but this is something I've been trying to be really conscious of, is I feel like life is really, really busy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we as people in general, and myself included, are as good as we should be about being really intentional about our interactions with others. And I say this around kind of like with my husband, like, you know, a lot of our interaction is like very task oriented, like things we have to do with the kids and things we have to do with work and whatever. And this thing of like really seeing someone and being like, I see who you are, not who you are doing the dishes or like whatever it is. And like having that in return, like who are you at the core? Who were we before these things? And so that's something like I'm constantly trying to do, I guess, is like step back from whatever the situation is and say like, you know, oh, how blessed we are, or like whatever it is, like how lucky we are, and how amazing you are, like in what you are versus these things that we do, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I like that. And actually, I think it was under psychological, or one of them, it said KISS is sort of something you can do as a self-care method. And it's the same thing, you know, you get into your daily rhythm with your spouse where it's just like, all right, did you do lunch? You packed that, you're taking them where, and just like taking that moment to like make sure you even like kiss goodbye or kiss goodnight. And it's something Kyle always says, we have to make sure we're kissing before bed. Or like something, just and it's just a reminder of you're not just two people who are keeping a person alive. Yeah.
this is a, like a little bit unrelated, and I cannot for the life of me remember where I saw this or heard it, but there was this one tactic that again I saw or read somewhere that talks about if you and your spouse or a friend or whatever, like are getting into a fight, like things are getting, like if you hold hands, it can't escalate. Like it's impossible to like get into a screaming match with someone that you're holding hands with.
Interesting.
Can you imagine it though? Like, so if you were like, no, but like, can you
unless
imagine?
Unless you're like angrily holding hands.
No, but like, can you imagine things really escalating if you're holding hands?
No.
But I don't know what just made me think of that, but like just talking about these like basic like things like kissing, like just brought that to my head.
But I guess if you're already willing to step out of the argument and be like, we should hold hands to keep this from escalating, you're like not wanting it to escalate.
Fair.
Sorry, I didn't mean to burst that bubble.
I know. It didn't even have to do with anything. It just made
on like the spousal tangent, but that's okay. It's important. So
we're kissing and we're holding hands to fight.
Things are getting weird.
We're doing a lot of dishes.
There's so many dishes.
It's like 17 people live at my house.
It is. It's unreal. Well, I think the thing that they don't tell you about parenthood, you read all the books, what they don't prepare you for is how much of your time will be spent doing dishes and laundry.
Oh my God. And how it's many times time. People put things in the laundry when they just don't want to put it away, and it's clean. Clean.
Oh, that's the worst. Luckily, I put everything in the laundry bin, so I know it's dirty. Oh, goodness. And there's always the chair. Where is it dirty? Do you put it away? Do you just put it on the chair?
We don't have a chair. We just have the floor.
Oh, we have a chair. Well, we have chairs.
Specifically for laundry.
It spills over. Yeah. So for me, emotional, I think we were talking about this earlier, Larissa, but I'd say, in general, I'm a pretty I'm not going to say emotional person, but I can cry pretty easily. I'm pretty comfortable with the crying side of things. And when I'm pregnant, it is just amplified. So I feel like I am letting my emotions release quite easily these days. So it's a bit of a stress reliever. And sometimes, you know, that feeling when like you can tell that you just need to cry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It feels so good when you when you just like need to do it.
Yeah. And then, but the worst is when you're trying not to, and then it like explodes at the weirdest time. Which has happened to me. I'm sorry.
Like if I look at you just like the wrong way, will you burst into tears?
Not right now. I'm not feeling it.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't need to cry. So I'm pretty even on my emotional scale. So what is one thing that you could do better?
So I think the thing that I could always do better on is, you know, I think I am very much my own worst critic, and I will, I'll cut myself down pretty easily and pretty quickly, or I'll blame myself if something doesn't go right, whether it's warranted or not. And I think I could just stand to be a little kinder to myself.
I like that. I think that's just something we can probably all anchor back to.
Probably.
So I think mine's similar. We talked in the Lady Camp episode about our takeaways, and mine was trying to not be so down on my body as it, you know, as I'm growing. And I think that's one that I just need to continue, that sort of self-love and acceptance and comfort with things as they change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think from an emotional standpoint and a kind of physical standpoint, I'm not sure that we could find anyone that doesn't relate to that.
Yeah. I think those are ones that are pretty common problems. So the next one is spiritual. And, you know, when we were first looking at this, Larissa, I think you had a question between spiritual and emotional and sort of where that line was. And the way that I saw it is that it's not really, spirituality isn't necessarily about religion, or but it can be for you. But it's about your own personal values and belief system. And it's more about who you are and what's important to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Sort of the differentiation there. And so some examples are like meditation, or even just like singing and dancing or playing. Yoga is a good way that you can be more spiritually self-aware or taking care of yourself. But some of the other examples from the wheel are playing with your children, you know, going into the ocean, watching sunsets, praying if you're a religious person, volunteering. There's lots of ways that you can feel spiritually fulfilled.
I think these all, I feel like, anchor back to me to like one thing, and that's like being present.
Yeah.
I feel like in order to do like all these things that you just mentioned, it's like it's some semblance of kind of being in the moment to do that thing, if that makes sense.
I think it makes absolute sense. It's that focus on the activity and making sure that you're fully there.
Yes, totally.
So how are you doing in terms of your spiritual self-care?
I think probably terrible.
Really?
I think probably terrible. I mostly think this is about being present and being focused on kind of whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm pretty bad at that. I think my mind is always kind of 50 places at once. I'm always thinking about the next thing that I have to do. And, you know, it's not that often, I feel like, where I can think where I'm just totally focused on what it is that I'm doing. So it's actually one of the reasons I really love yoga, because I have found when I go to yoga classes, I am really focused on what I'm doing and I can turn my head off. But that only really happens for me in an outside class. Like I can't get that same thing at home.
Oh, interesting. Sorry, you mean outside of home, not in the outdoors?
Yeah. Okay. So like in a class with others, because in my environment is my environment and all the things are around me that I need to be thinking about or doing something with. And I mean, I feel like being present is something I really need to focus on in general with my kids, with myself, with my husband, like just everyone and everything. I need to, I don't know, be conscious of like every moment is fleeting and, yeah, and to take it in. But I think yoga is something like I need more of, because I have found that it is a place I can do that. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I kind of hone that skill a little bit through yoga, I can apply it to other places in life. And, you know, I also need to stretch my body. So
two benefits. You've got your physical benefits, and your spiritual, yeah, in one.
Totally.
I agree. I think I'm reading this as sort of that being present, and yoga is one of those places where I can truly feel that. But I'll sort of, my check-in and my goal is kind of combined. Is I am trying to be more present when I'm at home with my family. You don't get a ton of time with your kids in the evening. And so I'm trying to be good about just putting the phone away and not focusing on what needs to be done once she's asleep, which is always a million things. And just playing with her and like watching her be her little self and hearing her laugh, which is the best thing ever. And doing the same thing with Kyle as well, and just sort of making sure that when he's talking about his day, I'm fully immersed in what he's talking about, and we're fully immersed in the conversations that we're having on a day-to-day basis, rather than just when we're out for dinner or, you know, those types of things, but just being fully immersed. And I've been making a conscious effort. Am I there? Absolutely not. So I agree. I think we share the same goal.
But like, what's the tip for like when you're listening to like a really boring work story and like,
oh god,
you just have no connection
to
it?
If I knew, I'd be a millionaire. I'd be so wealthy. Oh, I don't know. I don't know that answer.
Right. Right. Okay. All right.
You get into the nitty-gritty about what they're up to. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's tit for tat, because I'm sure if some of my work stories aren't exactly scintillating.
I don't know. Well, see, that's the thing. When you're telling it, you feel like it's fascinating.
Oh, it's the most interesting thing in the world. And then I think about it, and I'm like, I just told a story about a workshop.
Let me tell you about an Excel I made today. Let me tell you about the colors and the columns and the way it's organized. It's so fascinating.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. All right. So the next one is personal, and sort of this is another one that I think has a lot of crossover, and intentionally these are supposed to be your holistic self. So they might have some overlap, but personal, the way I thought about it is your personal goals and ambitions, and your relationships, and sort of how you foster that personal drive and those things that are your connection to yourself. So a couple of things the wheel says is getting coffee with friends, going on dates, fostering friendships. And then from a goal perspective, it's making short and long-term goals, planning, vision boards, getting out of debt, which I thought was an interesting one, spending time with your family. So it's kind of all encompassing. It's like everything that doesn't fit into another category kind of fits into personal. So how would you say you're doing here?
So I think there's parts of this that I could do better at. And then I think there's parts of this that I could do better at if I had more time. Mm. I mean, I think the thing that really comes to mind for me is, I don't know, this whole thing that we do, the podcast or the blog or, you know, just my conversations with people. Like I am constantly, you know, reading and trying to learn more and trying to, I don't know, get more educated about these like health topics that I'm really interested in. And then I find no greater joy than being able to help somebody with a question they have. And so when I answer a question for someone or recommend something to someone and they come back and they say that it like helped them or it worked or whatever, there's like no greater joy for me. So, but I think kind of expanding upon that, I mean, that I can do with the time that I have. But I think the thing that I would personally want to strive for, and I think it's about kind of like, what do I want to be when I grow up type of thing. You know, if I had all the time in the world, I feel like I'd be going and like formalizing some of that education. Mm-hmm. I'd like go get a nutritionist license or a health coaching license or like all those types of things, just because I am dying for the that education. But it's just like one of those things the time doesn't allow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's the thing that comes to mind for me first and foremost. So that's not really what I'm doing well.
But I think it's what you want to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
It's what you're doing well because you are putting focus into the podcast. You're taking the time to do this. You're taking the time to do blogging. You just wish you could do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that I, for a long time, like there's things I like to do, like read, for example, but I feel like for a long time, I was one of those people where somebody would say like, what's your hobby? And I would say, I don't know. I don't have one. I hang out with my friends. Yeah. Like I would be one of those people, but, I really found a passion in this. And so, you know, for me, from a personal perspective, like, I think it's like all about this.
Yeah. I actually just listened to the Mom Hour episode where they talk about hobbies. It's an interesting one because it touches on a lot of what we're sharing here. I'll link to it because I just think it's an interesting episode. And essentially what they're saying is like hobbies grow and change as you do. And the biggest hindrance is always time or thinking that something doesn't qualify as a hobby. And so... yeah, just an interesting episode. And I think it's good to have sort of the short term, you're taking care of your personal self-care through these activities, but long term you're planning for being able to have more time to devote to it.
Definitely.
So I think the way that I could do a bit better in this area is I wish I could I should put more time forward to being able to spend with my friends and making time and effort to be able to do that. Because I get so caught up in sort of the day to day and, you know, working, it's tough when you do have free time to be like, I'm going to take that away from my kid and go hang out with other people. But making sure that I make the time to do that because I always leave time with girlfriends feeling better and cared for and like I've laughed and every one of these categories that it fills my cup.
Yeah, don't you find yourself sometimes, you know, you might have those plans already and you're like, but yeah, then you go and you're like, why was I even thinking twice about going?
Yes.
Because this is exactly what I needed.
Exactly. But it's taking that time, it's being so tired and you know, it just seems so much easier to go to bed. And then you realize you get energy from that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's something that I want to focus on. So our last category is professional. And I think what's interesting about this category is it's not necessarily about professional goals and promotions and your next step, but focusing on how you can care for yourself while doing those things. So they put things like, taking time for lunch, setting boundaries, not working or leaving work at work, so not bringing work home with you, making sure that you take all of your vacation days. You think about learning to say no to things. Those types of stepping outside of your professional experience to make sure that you're focused on yourself. I thought that was an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not, I think you hear professional and you think about like, you know, what's your 5-year plan mm-hmm. or when do you want to be promoted or like that type of thing. But it's just much softer.
It is. And it's all the things that will help you care for yourself so that you can get to that next step and you can achieve those goals. Because otherwise burnout is real.
For sure.
So how are you doing here?
I think okay. I think the thing that isn't on this list that I would put on this list that is important to me professionally is my relationships at work. Mm-hmm. So I think with any job I've ever had, that's been the thing that kind of drives me and makes me happy coming to work. Like, of course, there's the work part of it, but that's not what this piece of the wheel is about. But for me, it's kind of those relationships with people, being able to, you know, take yourself out of work for a moment and chit chat and catch up and those types of things. And then I think the other thing, and I think you'll say this as well, like I'm pretty good about taking my vacation. I'm pretty good about taking that time away. Now I go away and it takes me like a good 3 days to like check myself out in my brain, but I'm pretty good about utilizing the time that I do get, because I think it's not healthy to constantly be submerged in work.
Yes, I agree. And you're absolutely right. I've never ever in my life rolled over a vacation day.
Okay. Well, I can't say that. I've definitely rolled over, but
no, I don't understand. I don't understand that at all. For me, it's one of those things where it's the benefit provided to you from your company. It's part of your pay and you've got to take them.
It's true.
It's a time you'll never get back. And you know, I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit here, because there is one of the things that I feel like I do well is leaving work at work. So unless there's something really big going on or there's some really big stressor, I'm pretty good at just sort of closing it.
So when you say leave work at work, you're not talking about like, oh, I still have to do some stuff when I get home. You mean like
mentally?
I've had like a stressful meeting. I'm not going to think about it when I get home.
Yes. No, I often have to work when I get home, but I mean that sort of like when I go on vacation, I'm completely off of work mode. The moment I put my out of office up, I'm out.
I want to do that.
But I feel like especially when you're in a managerial situation or you work with a team, it's helping set that framework for your team, because you don't want folks to feel like they have to work on their, how would you feel if somebody was reporting to you and they felt they need to check in?
No, I mean, you're right on. And I also think, and this is like a little bit off the wheel, but I also think that it's in those moments, like if you are in a managerial situation, when you have to step away, it allows the people that you work with to step up.
Yeah.
And do something that they might not have an opportunity to do.
And it just, you need it. You need that time. You need time to mentally decompress and recharge. It's in, we talked about this in an episode, several episodes ago about creating a healthy work environment. Our company actually has a policy where we're not allowed to send emails between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So that you give others the opportunity to recharge as well. So they're not getting your email and taking on your stress. And so I think there's value in this. I think companies are starting to see the value in sort of this professional self-care. And so we'll see this being an ongoing trend. But how do you think you could do better in this space?
So, I mean, I think where you said you're good at, which is kind of leaving work at work, I think I could definitely do better with that. I don't think I bring it home all days, but I bring it home. So I could definitely do better with that. I think I could be better about, you know, making sure that I eat lunch away from a desk, or like not eating lunch as I continue to work, whether it's at the cafeteria or not. But just to like, I don't know, remove yourself from whatever you're doing and clear your head and just be even mindfully eating, so that you're not kind of like staring in a screen and shoveling stuff in your mouth from the side and you're like, oh, I'm way full and I ate way more than I wanted to. I think that's another one that would be good for me.
That's a good one. So I couldn't think of one until you said lunch. I think that one of the things I'm horrible at is eating in the car.
What do you mean?
So if I'm driving to my client site or to our office, I'm eating my breakfast in the car. Or if I'm, working from home in the morning and then heading to the office in the afternoon, I'm eating my lunch in the car. I'm constantly eating on the go. And I just realized that. And that's really bad.
Yeah. So, but why?
And just time, especially in the mornings. I'm rushing around getting Claire ready for school. Then I'm dropping her off. And then I have like, I'm probably already running a little bit late just because of everything in the morning. And so I'm just sort of grabbing something and going. And just, that's when I can eat. And believe you me, I'm not going to skip a meal.
So do you think that there's something that you could do to change that?
That's a good question. I think it's so dependent on how the morning goes. I wonder if I could do more preparation at night to make sure that I can sit down and eat when she eats. I don't know. I don't know if I could fix that. Maybe that'll be my goal. I'll figure out how I can eat in the car less.
That's a good one. I didn't realize you were doing that.
No, because I'm driving a lot these days, so I'm spending a lot of time eating in the car.
Yeah, I mean, and I love food, and so I want to enjoy it, and I want to taste it, and I want to be like in the moment with my food.
Yes,
that sounds silly having to say, but yeah, I'm just
it's true.
Nobody talk to me. I'm having a moment with my food. But yeah, that would be difficult to constantly be eating on the go or like rushing through a meal always.
Yeah, I'm not even rushing through it. I've got about an hour and a half in the car, but it is just sitting there in traffic with, you know, a snack. But interesting, that one I hadn't even thought of until you brought up food. So that is the self-care wheel, and we will post this in the show notes, as long as there's one that you can actually fill in with your goals and some of your own thoughts for things that you can do, which I think is helpful. So we'll post that as well. But before we close, I want to get your thoughts on sort of how you think you'll use this, if you think this is an effective tool.
I mean, I think this is a really interesting way to look at it. I think when the average person, me included, thinks about self-care, there's no way I would have broken it down into this many categories or thought that there was this many like facets to it. And so I think it's a great way to look at it. I think it's also a great way to kind of assess, like I would imagine you want to be pretty balanced across it. And I think that if we look at it, we find that we're doing better in some places than others. And it's probably a pretty good way to evaluate where you need to focus in order to kind of, I don't know, make yourself whole.
Yeah. And I like that way of looking at it. And they did call it sort of the life balance wheel. And so it's almost just sort of checking yourself where you need to have an update and where you need to focus more attention. And I feel like as we were talking through these, there's some places that I'm typically better and typically worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe being mindful of where that is and what effect that can have on my overall well-being. And just sort of acknowledging that and figuring out ways to fix it. Like eating in the car probably affects professional, physical,
emotional. All the things.
Yeah. So,
you know, I could also see this being really interesting to kind of do with your partner.
Yeah.
Like having them do it and you doing it and kind of cross sharing, because I think there's probably a huge part of this that's, in order to do some of those things, you need somebody's support. For example, I'm here doing this podcast, so which fulfills me from a personal perspective. And so I need Bill's help in order to put the kids to bed tonight in order for me to be here. So
they better already be asleep.
Oh, no, they're way asleep. But I could see this being really interesting to share with someone to kind of say, like, here's where I'm lacking or here's where I need help or support or whatever. And then to know what they need as well.
Yeah, I like that.
It'd be a cool thing to do. So we will link the wheel and the empty wheel for you guys to fill in yourself in our show notes, as always, at crunchycocktailhour.com. Give us a follow on social media at Crunchy Cocktail Hour. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, of course. And if you like what you hear, we would so appreciate a review in your podcast app, wherever you listen. It means so much and it helps new listeners find us. So have a fantastic 4th of July. Hope everyone's doing something really fun, and we'll see you the week after.
Bye, everyone.